From WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, North Carolina, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. We've spent week after week following outrageous developments, often in the form of tweets from the Republican presumptive presidential nominee Donald Trump. We've witnessed the convention-shattering roller coaster of the Hillary Clinton-Bernie Sanders contest. And as North Carolinians, we've enjoyed the national spotlight for several months, thanks to the recent passage of HB 2. Today, we're getting professional help in the form of laughter. We have two comedians with us. Clifton Cash is a native North Carolinian. He's appeared on Laughs on Fox in 2014 and 15 and was a Martin Grant finalist last year. He's opened for comedians Michael Ian Black, Rory Scovel, Kyle Grooms, Todd Glass, Michael Che, Judah Friedlander, and Lachlan Patterson. He's also performed on Comedy Central's XM Radio. Clifton Cash, welcome to Coastline.
Hi.
That's not what he sounds like. John Feltz is a professional touring comedian who has performed at comedy clubs, colleges, and company events in 25 states. A self-described conservative libertarian, he is loath to alienate anyone, but we'll see if we can move that needle today. His dream is to one day impress his in-laws. In the meantime, he works as a magician as well.
So glad they mentioned that.
John Feltz, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you very much for having us.
And we're inviting you to join the conversation. If you have a political question or an issue that you'd like our comedians to take a crack at, email us at coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at @CoastlineHQR. A bit later in the program, we'll open the phone lines. John Feltz, you came to our attention several months ago after you performed a bit at the Dead Crow Comedy Club, which is literally across the street from us here in downtown Wilmington. Mm-hmm. Someone filmed it and posted it on YouTube. And this...
I'm so glad it made its way to you guys.
Yeah, this took aim at WHQR's pledge drive. So can you just set this up for us?
Sure. Love the station, and I listen a lot, and I'm a big fan. And so it's a big part of my life, and that's where jokes tend to come from. So I made a joke about the pledge drive just listening one day on my hour commute to work, and I just noticed how different the pledge drives were from the regular programming, because it would take breaks from the programming to go to the pledge drive, and NPR typically has a very temperamented, calm tone to it, but the pledge drive is the exception. It would go straight from calmness to excitement in the studio over the pledge. So I just tried to develop the best material and bit that I could based on that comparison.
And here's part of it.
12 militants have murdered 3 citizens and 4 tourists in East Africa. Coming up after that is some poetic commentary on southern marmalades and jams. Those are 2 different stories, NPR. Those deserve different tones. But that's how every story sounds on NPR, every story, until they have a pledge drive. Then the people on NPR lose their mind. It is as if someone has slipped crack into the company coffee pot, okay? You'll turn it on, you know what I'm talking, you'll turn it on. It'll be like, psh, coming up next on WHQR, NPR News Radio. We've got the Marketplace Morning Report bringing you the world's most current economic and financial news. But as for right now, we saw pledge drive, y'all! Yeah, it's going down! This is Rachel Lewis Hilburn in the studio with the station manager, Cleve Calson, has just shot me in the back with a syringe full of Red Bull. Yeah! We just raised $400, but we still got 15 more hundred to go. So you better pledge online or call in right now, because if you don't, we gon' lose our jobs!
So that was John Feltz performing at the Dead Crow Comedy Room. John, when did you do that? How long ago was this?
Probably about a couple months ago is when I told that joke. I'd written it probably, I want to say, maybe 9 months ago. I'm not sure. But you can tell by the laughter. People relate. They understood what I was talking about. And, of course, it's exaggerated, but that's what comedy is. It's hyperbole. It's exaggeration. You know, you're obviously not – shooting a firearm in the station to celebrate the latest pledge. So,
right, we totally weren't doing that.
Yet.
It wasn't happening.
Yet. I hope I didn't give you any good ideas.
Cliff Cash, you talk about no Obama. And let's listen to this, and then you can tell us how this evolved.
Gotta look out for that no Obama. Look here, because that no Obama, Hussein, he's about to go around and take away all the guns. All of them. He's going to take your pawpaw's hunting rifle. He's going to take that 38 your daddy kept in the junk drawer in the kitchen. Hey, he's going to take all the guns in the whole world. And then he's going to melt down the guns and use the metal to make rings for gay people to get married with. And then he's going to round up all the white Christians, put us on work crews building abortion clinics. Because he's a secret Muslim terrorism, communism. And that's what Muslims is into, is marriage equality for homosexuals and women's reproductive rights. That's Sharia law.
Cliff Cash, how did that evolve, that bit?
Well, it's true, first of all. Let me just say that. Sharia law is probably coming within the next few days. I think we can all expect that. No, I'm kidding. I think just it's people are that crazy, you know?
Is this part of your Sick of Stupid comedy tour that's going on?
That's some material that I definitely do during the Sick of Stupid shows. So Sick of Stupid is, the whole concept is sort of intelligent, kind of forward-thinking, left-leaning Southern comedy, which are, you know, those things haven't really been synonymous with each other up until now, and we're trying to change that. And people, I think when they think of Southern comedy, they kind of think of, you know, goofier, sillier comedy that's kind of serving to kind of perpetuate bad Southern stereotypes more than to question them or to analyze them. But that joke I wrote kind of haphazardly with a friend who was my roommate at the time. We were just going back and forth of all the things Obama was going to do. You know, he's gonna turn all the churches into, like, public housing for gay people. And, you know, it was just all this, like, all the insane, you know, like, as insane as comparing Obama to Hitler, you know, which is something that people do on a regular basis. But so we were just going back and forth, and that was, like, my favorite one that we, you know, the favorite crazy thing that he was going to do. And I was like, I'm going to talk about that on stage. And I probably ought to bring back some of the other ones. But it started where there were several, and I listed all the things Obama was going to do. And but, you know, with comedy, you kind of trim the fat. You kind of take a joke and go, you know, is there a way to break this down where you're just keeping the best parts? And sometimes you're building a bit up to make it longer and have more tags. And then sometimes you're kind of deconstructing it to keep, we call it, like, cutting the fat, where you're just kind of trying to simplify it and take it down to the best part.
We have comedians Cliff Cash and John Feltz with us today, trying out some political humor, and they'll take suggestions from you if you have a political topic you'd like to discuss. Give us a call. Yeah, way to put you guys on the spot.
Here we go. My answer will be, I don't know anything about that thing you just mentioned. Work well
910-343-1138 is the number. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. John Feltz, when you hear Cliff Cash talk about being liberal, left-leaning, progressive comedian, mm-hmm. and he makes jokes about, you know, having white Christians build abortion clinics. Does that offend you as a more conservative-leaning comedian?
It offends me as a white Christian, actually. That's no, not at all.
You call yourself a clean comedian.
Yeah, I do. I do clean comedy. So, you know, both of us have a direction that our comedy's geared towards, and it doesn't mean it can't be appealing to those that don't fall into that category. So, you know, we do our best to make it as universal as possible, but who we are is who we are, and our comedy is going to reflect that. So it doesn't offend me in the slightest, because Cliff is funny. it offends me when it's not funny. You know, I don't mind left-leaning humor. I don't mind dirty humor if it's hilarious. You know, the, you know, what gets me is when there's an agenda higher than comedy. That's when it bugs me the most. Is when, okay, look, the primary goal here is to be funny first. You know. Yeah. So I'm more offended at someone who is just has a higher agenda than that, than to make people laugh.
We recently heard about Donald Trump being called out for his racist remark about a judge of Mexican origin that he was saying could not fairly rule on the current case before him involving Trump University. Cliff Cash, you said that this actually helps you resurrect some jokes you thought might have been old.
Well, yeah, people are always asking me if I have Trump jokes. And the truth is, I really don't. I have a lot of racism jokes, and those really can double as Trump jokes. So I just use Trump as a segue into talking about racism, and everybody gets that.
Yeah. And so lay one on us.
Well, I talk about I recently wrote a bit about a guy. I don't even know where this just popped into my head, but I kind of do characters, and I say this guy's running late for a Klan meeting, and there's no white sheets at his house. They're all dirty. And so he has to get a cream-colored sheet out of the linen closet, cuts the holes in it, shows up at the Klan meeting. And all his friends start being really hard on him that his sheet's not white. And he's getting really upset, and he's saying, it's still me under here. You know, I'm still the same person. Like, it's just a sheet. And they're like, no, it's they have to be white, you know? And he's getting really upset, and they're getting upset, and he finally is like, you guys are being really close-minded. You're really being small-minded, being this caught up on color. It's just a sheet, and so obviously that's a silly metaphor for race.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We have comedians John Feltz and Cliff Cash with us today. After this short break, we'll open the phone lines. If you have an issue you'd like to hear our comedians take a crack at, give us a call, 910-343-1138, or email us at coastline@whqr.org. You're listening to Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. We're poking a little fun at the world of politics today with two comedians, John Feltz and Cliff Cash. The phone lines are now open. If you have your own humorous take on a recent political development, lay it on us. 910-343-1138 or email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Just before we went to break, we were hearing some Donald Trump jokes. John Feltz, do you have a contribution to toss into the pot?
I just get real tired of people calling him a racist. Every time they, even with this new judge situation, I keep having to remind them, did you not see the picture of him with the taco bowl, the taco salad? I mean, do we need to show that again to prove to you he's not racist? Come on, people. Just make a tab on your browser for that, all right? Every time you hear one of these racist accusations.
Exactly. He did say in the post, I love Hispanics.
I mean, come on now. The great
on
thing about
Cinco de Mayo.
It was a great tribute.
You know, the funny thing about the current candidates is that neither of them are widely well-liked by either party, by a lot of the folks that fall within that term. So it makes it almost good for us, you know, because more people can relate and it allows people to laugh at themselves, and yeah, our candidate's nothing special, and yours isn't super great either. Let's all come together and agree and laugh about it. So hopefully it helps.
Yeah, it makes it easy. You can take pot shots at everybody. We have an email from Chaz who writes, voting for the lesser of two evils sucks, but the choice of Hillary or Trump is like deciding not to change the oil in your car for another 1,000 miles, even though you probably should, versus deciding to drive your car off a cliff and into the Pacific Ocean.
That's a good metaphor, Chaz.
And we have an email from Bridget who writes, hi, I'm a comedian, so I don't know if I count as general public. Of course you do, Bridget.
I disagree, Bridget.
But do you guys know Bridget?
If you knew Bridget, you wouldn't say that. No, we're kidding.
She says she wishes she was in the studio with Feltz and Cash to be the Hillary girl. And she says, all of us who have ever dealt with a friend's ex-boyfriend at a party right after they broke up understands what's going on at America's party right now. Just go out to the porch, chill, and remember we're all drunk.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean we can't get home safely without screaming.
Nice.
And he'll just stay there breaking 40s over his head for no reason. And
Bridget, did you date a guy that broke 40s over his head? And is he still alive? That's funny. It's like, go out on the porch, throw up, and cry.
That's something we can all relate with, hitting someone over the head with a 40.
Yeah. I've done that a lot.
Very relatable.
And she goes on.
That's Bridget.
Bridget's great. She's a great writer. Fantastic.
She is. She's funny. She says, my friend installed ad blocker on my laptop, and I hate it because it makes my computer run so slow. I want to throw it across the room anytime I use it. But the messed up part is that I'm not getting mad at the websites trying to push thousands of ads at me, but instead I hate the program that's actually trying to help me not see those ads, which basically makes me a Trump supporter. Cliff Cash, is it true that your mother speaks in tongues?
She does. She's going to be listening and be like, don't tell people that. No, she's my family is very religious. My mom's a very devout Christian, and she goes to a prayer group meeting on Thursdays where they speak in the spirit, and it's something that, you know, that's her whole life, you know, is her beliefs, and I respect them. And, you know, my parents are amazing people. My dad just passed away.
So sorry about that.
Thank you. About a week ago, or a little more than a week ago. But, you know, they raised me with those beliefs, and you know, my beliefs are somewhat different, but that, you know, all the good parts of their beliefs, I like to think, you know, kind of carried over into my life and gave me some morality and some right and wrong. And
it's interesting because you're willing to poke fun at a lot of people and a lot of different political positions, but your real beef is not with a specific position. It's with non-thinking.
I think that's a good way of saying it. Yeah, I think my real beef is with ignorance and just meanness, you know, and those don't, you know, no party and no end of the spectrum has a monopoly on that. You know, there's plenty of people that are very liberal that can be mean-spirited and ignorant. And sometimes I have to remind myself of that. But, you know, I respect everyone's beliefs, and I really don't want to offend anyone. I try hard in my comedy, even when I'm doing stuff that's political and you know, maybe kind of driven by a social issue or whatever. Like Felt said, to me, the first thing is I want it to be funny. And I want it to be hopefully so funny that even if somebody goes, I completely disagree with everything that guy thinks, but it was pretty funny. You know, that's my goal. And that doesn't always happen. And there's crowds when I'm, you know, there's situations where I'm in a crowd and I just go, you know, I just can't do some of this material. I just can't, you know, unless I want to get assaulted. and Stuart Huff, who, if you're listening to this and you love comedy, you got to check out Stuart Huff. He's an incredible comedian. Mm-hmm. He's one of the comedians on the Sick of Stupid comedy tour with me, Stuart Huff and Tom Simmons. And Stuart is, he's like no holds barred. He's going to do his material no matter what. And he's kind of suffered some of the consequences of that. He's been punched in the face on stage doing a pro gay rights joke. He got full on like assaulted after a show, like beat up pretty badly and had to get dental work done because they didn't like what he was saying. And to me, I hear that and I'm like, man, Stuart's like the nicest guy in the world. Like I love him to death. Like he feels very like conscious and peaceful, and you know, when I'm around him, he's a very calming, like sensible person. And it's really hard for me to imagine anyone like wanting to hurt him, but people get really angry when you question their belief system or their political beliefs or their values or whatever. And so he's kind of felt the backlash of that. I haven't, and I think Tom Simmons, one of the other comedians, I think he and I are both really convicted about what we believe and what we think and the kind of comedy that we want to do, but we're also like less willing to get punched in the face, I guess, because I'll dial it back. When I'm in, if the half the crowd's camo, like I'm laying off some of my material. Like I'll just plug in something that's a little more universal instead. But Stort's really brave, and I mean I really respect him for being that brave and doing it no matter what. Because George Carlin didn't back off because there were rednecks in the crowd. You know, I mean.
And isn't George Carlin largely considered a genius, and his comedy lasts because he made fun of all of us. I mean, he made fun of humanity and the way we think about things. Yeah. And it seems like such a healthy point of view to actually step back from yourself for a second and say, maybe I take myself a little too seriously sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
John Feltz, how did you get into comedy?
I always just liked joking around, and I had always wanted to give it a shot. There had just never really been an opportunity. And I went to UNCW, and there was a comedy competition for amateurs, and I just thought I'd like to give it a stab, and it went okay. Didn't get booed off stage, didn't get a lot of laughs, just kind of treaded water. Thought, okay, I survived, and kind of grew from there. And Cliff and I were both lucky when Dead Crow Comedy Room opened up here in Wilmington, North Carolina, and that really helped us develop as comedians and actually give ourselves the delusion that we might be able to give this a shot. And again, the owners there are so wonderful to give everyone the chance and opportunity. And the crowds are nice. We have a, like Cliff said, it's an oasis where you get a wonderful group of people just from our community who are almost rooting for you, who really want to see you do well. You don't really get that many other places in the country. So it's a great place to try it. It was a great place to begin and to grow. And just kind of took off from there. Got very, very lucky.
You're listening to Coastline. We have comedians Cliff Cash and John Feltz with us today talking about humor, especially in the world of politics. And they'll take suggestions from you. If you have a topic you'd like them to tackle, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. And we're almost at the bottom of the hour, and HB2 has popped up. So HB2, popularly known as the bathroom bill, is one of the more divisive issues for North Carolinians, I think, right now. And this is an interesting one because there are a lot of components to this bill, but there's very little gray area in terms of where people fall, whether they oppose it or support it. Most people are squarely in one camp. Liz from Oak Island wants to know what you guys think about HB2. She says, I was at the airport in Wilmington during a downtime, and I used the ladies' restroom, and a 6-foot-tall man looking nothing like a woman came walking out of one of the stalls, and he didn't wash his hands, so you know he wasn't a lady. Then
my main beef is with the hand washing, I was supposed to say.
Then the other day they were talking on TV about new apps on phones and how little kids are so smart and they pull up porn accidentally. Well, don't worry about it because they're going to be all over the restrooms too. I didn't get that last part. But so John Feltz, HB2.
Yeah, you talk about an issue that people are really passionate about that can quickly divide, and that's HB2. And I thought to myself, it is going to be impossible to joke about this. And I'm a believer in the supernatural and in faith, and I really tried hard and I prayed and I was like, I got to think of something to talk about while this is really relevant because people are going to want to hear about it. They're going to want to talk about it. So I was very lucky I tried to think of a way where everyone could relate on it, which was pretty difficult. But I finally came up with a joke where maybe we should be less concerned about who's in the bathroom and more concerned about the horrible quality of these public bathrooms in the first place. The toilet paper in public bathrooms is so thin, it literally dissolves in your hand on the way to its intended purpose. Cliff tells a great joke about the cracks in between the stalls. It's an uncomfortable place in general, and I think that was something that everyone could relate on, everyone could have a laugh on, and I didn't have to take sides or get people upset about it because it's a serious issue. It is, and as much as I'd love to joke about it, it's easier to get a little more passionate and serious about it. So,
Cliff Cash.
Well, I think it's really important. You know, our state legislature has been able to really zero in on important things like bathrooms and not be distracted from us being, you know, last in teacher pay and one of the last in education, our crumbling roads, bridges, and infrastructure. And I think really focusing on who's got what genitals and whether they're going to pee-pee beside you is something that's really, we should spend a lot of money and taxpayer dollars to, because that's small government, and that's what Republicans support, and I think it's really important. And I'm just happy that Liz lived through that, you know, someone with different genitals pee-peeing near her. I'm just thankful that she's alive, honestly, because it could have been a close call. It could go either way. You know, transgender people are constantly hurting people. There's lots of stories. I'm kidding. There's no stories about that. I worry a lot about Republican congressmen in bathrooms. There are lots of stories about that. They should probably get their own bathroom. There's been some really bad behavior by elected GOP leaders in public restrooms, and I think we should take a look at that and maybe consider porta-johns for those guys.
John Fowles. you got to pick that up.
No, I can't follow that.
I'm kidding. I'm against it.
I already told you my joke.
Transgender people should pee outside.
Or
wear diapers.
Bill from Surf City wants to know if Fowles, as a conservative libertarian, wants the government to be restricted in its ability to limit big business and bigotry.
That doesn't sound very funny. It's just a terrible joke right there. I'm not laughing at all.
Oh, man, I don't know if it's a joke.
I don't know how I could make that funny. I already tried.
Okay.
Trying to make it as relatable as possible, but if you want to keep it funny, yeah, I don't know that I can talk about it any more than I already did.
So. You're listening to Coastline. We have John Fowles and Cliff Cash with us today, both local comedians, and they're here to answer your political questions. They're our professional help today, our pundits. They're helping us exhale and not take all of this stuff so seriously. We have Chris from New York. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hey, this is Chris. I met this guy, Cliff Cash, at a show in New York City, and you guys were speaking about religion just earlier, and he started his set off with a prayer, and I thought it was, like, the funniest thing. And he kind of, like, wrote the joke that morning. I know he did, because it was about the people in Brooklyn on scooters, and I, when I think of that joke, I just laugh all the time. He remembers the joke.
You know what he's talking about, Cliff?
Yeah, I had to make fun of New York a little bit, because everybody sees New York City as like the mecca of cities. That's like, and I don't mean to say mecca like pro-Islam. Okay, I just want to straighten that out. But did he say mecca? Get him. Where's this place at? But yeah, everybody, you know, and New York is obviously a great city, especially a great city for comedy. But I was just walking around the city, lost and like tired and hungover, carrying my luggage, and just seeing people like grown men on scooters and suits with like. And, you know, it's just like, what are you, that's a kid, that's like a skateboard with handlebars, you know. And they're just, they are probably working 60 hours a week to afford a place that's like way too expensive and 3 miles from the subway. And I guess they're just riding the scooters to get there faster. And I get it. And you will get there faster on a scooter because, you know, I'm carrying all this dignity and you're clearly not. That's going to slow me down. But it's just, I couldn't get over it. Like, it's just not. I'm sure it's a great city. You know, there's pizza, but yeah, you know, there's pizza everywhere, and you can visit for a Broadway play. Like, don't get a scooter. I saw one guy with a scooter and a Bluetooth earpiece. I was like, that's scooter tooth. You can't do that. It's ridiculous.
Chris, are you a comedian?
Yes, I have the ability to make people laugh. That's a fact. But
he's also a superhero. If I'm thinking
yes,
of the right.
Yes, I am a superhero. ChrisFraleyPresents.com. Go to it. I'm a superhero. I'm saving people from stereotypes because stereotypes are bad.
That's great. All right, Chris.
I'm gonna try to check out Cliff in Cleveland. I'm gonna come see this guy in Cleveland on the stupid tour.
Sick of stupid.
Are you gonna drive from New York to Cleveland for that show?
Now I'm gonna fly out. I have a friend out there. I think I want to do.
Dude, that's
it's like
awesome.
On a Wednesday night. Yeah. I think I have off Thursday and Friday, so I think I'm going to do it. So
I hope my mom's
see you when
listening.
I see you.
All right, Chris.
Mom, I have a fan. One. I have one fan.
Thank you so much for your call. And this won't apply to him, but Cliff Cash, you said that anyone who had a ticket to a show that was canceled because of HB2 is going to get free admission. Is that still true?
Absolutely.
I just announced it, so it
Absolutely.
Better be.
Yeah, yeah. If you have a Pearl Jam ticket or a Springfield ticket or, you know, if you're PayPal and you're relocating a multi-billion-dollar business because of our bigotry, you can also come. And, you know, and I think that's – we're talking about HB2. I think the real issue is – It's crushing us economically. It's a huge impact economically. And the bill wasn't just about bathrooms. It was about being able to fire a person for being gay and them not being able to pursue a lawsuit because of it. And that's legalizing bigotry. And so the bathroom thing was a way to scare people, and it worked very well. But it's a way to take rights away from people, and that's ultimately the worst part of it.
We have an email, and I don't know if we'll be able to finish this before we go to break, but Mike writes, how much clean water do we really need? Enough already with all this regulation.
Well, John was joking when we came in the studio. They asked us if we wanted water, and John said he wanted some with some coal ash in it.
Sprinkle a little in there for me.
That made me laugh really hard.
Make me feel at home. I think you need to be willing to laugh at yourself. You know, and I think that's what we want from our audiences, and I think that's what would lighten everyone up a little. I mean, Cliff constantly has a lot of liberal, left-leaning humor, poking fun at conservatives and libertarians and white Christians, and I fall into a lot of those categories. So, and it's funny, like I said, you know, and I like to be able to make sure just everyone has a good time.
We have an email from Anne who asks if you can defend McCrory, and as she puts in quotations, his environmental care of our state.
Did you not hear my last joke?
Do you even support McCrory? I mean, are you a McCrory fan?
I'm not waving the McCrory banner. I think McCrory is two different issues. As far as HB2, McCrory is standing up for what he believes in, and that's what other people do. It's what you do when you have a position. You know, I don't like Bernie Sanders, but I admire him for fighting the good fight in the face of a lot of resistance. And to me, people who cower away and who change their views and who backtrack and flip-flop, not just, you know, sometimes, but on a regular basis, you know, that's really what bugs me. So, you know, I'm not surprised he's sticking to his guns. He seems like that kind of guy. So I'm not surprised. I'm not exactly going to wave signs for him the way I did for Ron Paul or anyone, but, you know, it doesn't surprise me that that's what he's doing.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We have comedians John Feltz and Cliff Cash with us today. You have one segment left to ask your question or pitch your best political joke at 910-343-1138 or email us today at coastline@whqr.org. You're listening to Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Cliff Cash and John Feltz are comedians who've joined us today to take the lid off the political pressure cooker. They've brought their best political jokes, and I think they're interested in yours. So you can give us a call at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. Cliff Cash, would you consider yourself a crusader for the environment? You know, I'm sure, that there's been a push at both state and federal levels lately to roll back regulations because it is viewed by some as an obstacle to economic growth. Lots of red tape for businesses.
I think it is an obstacle to the type of economic growth that crushes beautiful cities. I think that places like Georgetown, South Carolina, that has exponentially higher cancer rates because of the steel mill and paper mill that are right in their downtown, probably wish they had better regulations before they allowed those things to come in. That's a beautiful town. It's a place I'm actually really fond of and spend time in, but I'd never live there because I don't want to die from those kinds of cancers. I think that's – you can't count on people to just, like, do the right thing because it's the right thing. I mean, people will pollute your water if they can make a profit from it, and I think we're seeing that. As far as an environmental crusader, I don't know that I deserve that title. I'd love to be given that title. I owned a recycling company for 8 years, and I also helped with the Stop Titan movement, and getting that going and being involved in that and some other environmental initiatives. So yeah, it's something that's really important to me. I actually have a hard time writing jokes about it because I get angry.
Because you feel it so deeply.
Yeah, I get angry. And, and I have a hard time finding the humor in it. But I'm working on material about throwing out your cigarette butts. I'm working on some comedy about that. It's not quite ready yet, but I also want to like film fake skits of where I'm driving my car and somebody in front of me throws the cigarette butt out the window, and I get out and grab it and throw it back in the car. I want to like. I'm not going to tell people they're fake. Well, anybody that's listening to this will have the inside scoop on that. But I want to just start posting those on YouTube and see what happens with them.
You're listening to Coastline. We have John Feltz and Cliff Cash with us today. You can give us a call at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. And we have Brendan from Wilmington. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Great show today. Hey, I had a question. I'm wondering if Donald Trump drives the GOP the way of the dinosaur, do you think the far religious right will deny they ever existed?
Guys?
Yes. If there's anything scientific about it, probably.
That's Cliff Cash.
Possibility.
Dinosaurs aren't real, bro.
All right, Brendan. Thank you so much for that call. George from Wilmington called. He's no longer on the line, but he left this message. He says, you want to hear my best political joke? Donald Trump.
That's the answer.
Okay.
Zing.
Yeah. That,
George, ba-dum-ba. You're a trickster.
John Feltz.
Yeah.
Superdelegates.
I find the concept of superdelegates hilarious because I feel like Republicans are snapping their fingers like, why didn't we think of that? Like,
yeah.
like
what a great way to control
things. They were so
clever.
I think it's great that issue has come to light in this election. I feel like we need to start training kids earlier, and in high school elections have superdelegates. So if they want to elect the class clown or, yeah, God forbid, we have a she's all that situation, you know, the top 10 performing kids with the top 10 GPAs are the superdelegates. We're going to elect the valedictorian, you know, no worries. But this superdelegates kind of came as a shock to a lot of people, and I'm glad it's getting a lot of attention. So
we have an email. Sorry, Cliff Cash, did you want to?
I was going to say, this isn't funny, but I think that they're inherently undemocratic. I get it. I understand why they exist. But
does it matter, though? Because it's not a governmental organization. It's a political party.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't think that you could stop. I don't think you take it to the Supreme Court and stop it for that reason. But, yeah, I'm sure that Republicans wish that they had superdelegates now, you know, and get a real person as a nominee. I think it's great that he's going to be the first orange president, though. I think that's pretty progressive.
Okay, our friend Anne wrote back. She's the one who brought up McCrory earlier. Can you defend McCrory and his environmental care of our state? And she says, thanks for addressing McCrory, but I was actually trying to set you guys up for a McCrory joke. He depresses me so much. I need a way to laugh about our gov. Thanks.
It's difficult.
And
yeah.
Then
I think McCrory he's a believer in small government, you know, like making it so small that it can't keep poison out of your water and making it so small that I can actually fit into the bathroom stall with you to see what kind of genitals you have. I think it's important, you know.
Okay, wow. McCrory's taken a lot of pot shots.
McCrory, I hope you're listening, mister. I think this whole transgender thing, a lot of it could be that he's like, you know, it's probably hard being named Pat for your whole life. Like, he's might have gotten some androgynous jokes directed at him, and he's like, I'm going to straighten this out.
Black Lab Productions writes, I admire that, talking about McCrory, in defense of McCrory, he says, I admire that he, like a captain, is going down with the ship, steadfastly steering into every iceberg he can see. Hashtag Titanic.
The hashtag's the best part. And I think, you know, I don't just, like, completely dislike everything about the guy. I don't know everything about him, but it started for me with the film incentives when, you know, I think that was really detrimental to our state and definitely detrimental to this community. I know a lot of people in film, and people were really upset about it. A lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people moved to Atlanta where they were beefing up their film incentives, which is a huge city and obviously a state at least equal to North Carolina. So if it was so bad for us, how is it so good for them? And ironically, one of McCrory's biggest campaign contributors, the Cathys, or supporters, you know, I don't know the math of their contributions, but they're heavily invested in the film industry in Georgia, and I think that's a conflict of interest, and I don't think it's a coincidence. I mean, I think that, you know, there were some conversations of, hey, you know, let's make some money on studios down there. I mean, they own huge studios, and a lot of the GOP in North Carolina is invested in the film industry too, and I. So, scandal, hashtag
those,
scandal.
Yeah, there those you go. Are those are claims, I have to say for the record, that we have not been able yeah. to corroborate.
I from corroborated a, those on Twitter. They are definitely true.
John Phelps. Mm.
I have a buddy who is the biggest Bernie supporter I know, and he constantly rails about hating millionaires and billionaires. No tax breaks from millionaires and billionaires. No tax breaks. Millionaires and billionaires, and then he says, oh, here's a flyer for the film incentive. And I'm like, do you not understand that this is a tax break for millionaires and billionaires? Like, I understand you're against the concept, but let you know, I don't understand. I don't understand how there was not the connection there. His Facebook page was literally him with a big film incentive banner and then Bernie underneath. And I thought, all right, where's the equal sign with the slash through it? You know, back to the water thing. You know, you talk about the governor going down with the ship again. That's I'm not surprised by that. When you look at governors like the governor in Georgia, who repealed a very similar bill, or the governor of Flint, governor of Michigan, who the government ran the water. It was a state municipality, and you know, it's all just pointing fingers at that point. You know, so. You know, I think it's interesting to watch governors act different ways when they take different paths. And I think it's neat that we can have so many states that we can compare when things go awry that are similar to our state.
We have Alan from Wilmington. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hey, I just wanted to say to Mr. Phelps that you're not alone about your giving your trash back idea. And if I've done it once, I've done it a dozen times downtown Wilmington. The trick is to just look them right in the eye as you hand it back to them or put it in their pocket.
Oh, yeah. You're
talking to Cliff Cash,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that was me.
Oh, I'm sorry. No,
Cliff was
Alan,
the funny one.
I'm furious, Alan. How dare you get our names wrong. Get out of here. I'm kidding. My wife and I were well, this happened to me quite twice recently, once at a national park. So when I'm traveling around the country doing stand-up comedy, I'm also trying to see every national park. And that's kind of like part of what my Instagram is about, hashtag every national park. And I'm trying to put a million miles on my car, and I'm trying to get sponsorship to do that to help me get to that point. I got about 800,000 miles to go, but and that's hashtag million mile Mercedes. But my wife and I were recently, I had a gig in the Outer Banks, and we went to Jockey's Ridge State Park, and a guy got out of his car, finished his cigarette, and threw it on the ground. And I do, anytime I see somebody do this, I say something. And I just said, hey, brother, you know, since this is a state park, you think maybe you throw that in the trash instead of on the ground? Just since we're, you know, since it's a state park. And he's like, yeah, I will. I'm sorry. Which is nice of him to be cool. But we got in the car, and my wife was like, I'm glad he was cool about it so you don't have to get in a fight.
Sarcasm is a really great way to reach people.
Oh,
it really.
And shame. I like to shame people. I like to use the shame I've felt for other reasons and direct it towards litterers. But I did it in a national park, at Smoky Mountain National Park. A guy at the main visitor center, a guy with his wife and three kids, threw a cigarette on the ground. And I was like, dude. You're in front of the office of this national park, and you got three kids. Like, can you just do it just for the sake of setting an example so that they don't – so they're not in jail.
So that when they smoke and
– Yeah. They were 6 and 7 and 4, and they were already smoking, actually. They all had on jean shorts and Rebel Flag flip-flops, yeah. And the dad had a Looney Tunes neck tattoo, which I thought was nice, and – Great they were touch. Just smoking cigarettes together as a family, and that's what national parks are about, family time.
We had a message. Alex from Wilmington says, I was hoping the drug companies would come up with a drug for erectile dysfunction.
Oh, that's silly.
Okay, so let's play a quick game. This is just to see how tuned in you guys are to the local news.
Oh,
all right.
Wow.
So mm-hmm. This shouldn't be hard. You have a a bell in between the two of you.
That's what the bell's for.
Yeah. Ah. And so whoever thinks they have the answer, just go ahead and ring in.
All right.
And, of course, I'll award the points. And they're completely random, and you win nothing at the end. But
awesome. This sounds like the election.
You get points. Yeah. Okay, so you are going to pick the answer A or B, which quotation was actually pulled from a legitimate news story. A, the emu was taken into custody without incident. Or B, a rare albino kangaroo escaped its enclosure at Tregangbo Animal Park and led authorities on a two-hour chase through the woods off Carolina Beach Road. Okay, John Phelps.
Are there more options?
Which is the real story?
I'm gonna have to go with B. I'm gonna try for B.
The albino kangaroo escaping Tregembo Animal Park.
All you had to say was Tregembo, and I was like, problem. Okay, yep.
Yeah, no, I made that up.
Oh.
There was actually an article in the paper earlier this week.
Wow.
Star News, written by Ashley Morris, I think. I'm sorry if I got your name wrong. The emu was taken into custody without incident. A stray emu was captured after wandering through supply. That's in Brunswick County. And Tommy Tolley, director of Brunswick County Animal Protective Services, said officers walked up to the giant bird and put him on a leash. That is true.
Wow. I knew that Tregembo thing was false because they take really good care of those animals. They're really treated well and have really good lives.
Okay.
I'm a comedian. That's the joke.
So now finish the limerick.
Are they an underwriter?
No, they're not. But that's not important. The news department doesn't know who the underwriters are. So, okay, finish the limerick. There once was a Forest Hills school that deemed a smart writer not cool. When he showed up to tutor, the school said, "No, sir, you have broken a top secret."
Pooter. I don't know.
Rule. Do you know what story?
My focus vitamin water is not helping me.
Okay. That was about Clyde Edgerton and his getting banned from New Hanover County Public Schools.
I heard about that, yes.
Okay. All right. So there's just one more, and then
let's hear it.
The pain will end.
I love Clyde Edgerton.
The calls are at once before us for producers whose cameras aren't porous to send in their films plumbing oceanic realms and win at the 5th annual
Kookaloras.
Close! Surfaloras, yes.
Oh, okay.
That's coming up.
Is that a
September
thing?
15th through the 17th.
Surf film?
Surfaloras.
It's okay.
Yeah.
You didn't ring the bell, so it doesn't count.
Surfaloras.
Nailed it.
Okay, we have just,
I won that.
Just a couple of minutes left. Where can people catch the Sick of Stupid comedy tour, Cliff Cash?
We are in Wilmington. We're going to be at Bougie Nights, June 17th and 18th. And Bougie Nights is on Princess. It's the music venue attached to Mana, which we all know Mana is one of the best restaurants in town. The owner is a good friend of mine, a super awesome guy, and has been cool enough to let us bring the show there. This will be our second time. We sold it out in January, but we got snowed into the North Carolina mountains, so we had to move the show from Saturday to Monday. We were bummed. We lost some of the ticket holders, but we're going to do four shows, an early show and a late show, that Friday and Saturday, June 17th and 18th. But the tour is actually going Savannah, Charleston, Wilmington, Lexington, Kentucky, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Greensboro, and Asheville. And then in July, we're going to be in Cleveland, July 20th for the RNC, during the RNC, offering, you know, in case anybody wants to hear anything smart, they can come to that. And then we're going to be in Atlanta at the Atlanta Punchline for seven shows in August. So if you know people in any of those cities, we would love to see them. And you can follow us on Facebook, Sick of Stupid Comedy Tour. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter at Sick of Stupid.
And we'll put that on our post, too, at the
so
end
much.
Of this show. John Phelps, where can people catch you in town?
On my website. I do a lot of private booking, so I'll be in Florida in July and Texas in September, but they're for private events. That's about all I have. You can find me at johnfeltscomedy.com or on YouTube.
That's this edition of Coastline. Cliff Cash, John Phelps, it's been a pleasure having the two of you on today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And remember, you can now hear Coastline twice a week on Wednesdays and Thursdays at 12:06 here on HQR News 91.3 FM. Coastline's executive producer is Cleve Callison. Technical director is Ken Campbell. Producer is Isabel Shepherd. If you missed part of this episode, look for it at whqr.org or get the podcast from the iTunes store. You can also tune in for the rebroadcast of both shows now on Sundays from 2 to 4 in the afternoon. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline. We'll be right back.